Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Adjustment for the City of Bettendorf for August the 8th, 2020. Roll call, please.
Clements?
Yes, here.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spryanger? Tansy?
Here.
Tom Burks?
Here.
Thank you. This is the Board of Adjustment, which is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. We handle special uses and variances that come before us. We get the reports in advance and hopefully get to go out and see the properties involved, and in most cases are able to make a decision on the night that the matters come before us. Tonight we have two matters coming before us. We're going to take them a little, I guess I skipped the important thing, the minutes, didn't I? You've all received copies of the minutes from last month's meeting. Do I have any additions or corrections?
No.
No, I don't think so. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the September 10th meeting.
I'll make that motion
to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Thanks, Chris. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Looks like the motion carries. Now we'll move into... Oops. I think that was not me, though. Now we'll move into the two items before us, and we're going to take them out of order, which will become more apparent after a while here. But in order to maintain a quorum for these for both of them, we're going to take case 20-057 first, which is 3050 Middle Road. It's a C2. A special use application to allow a car wash in a C2 zoning district classifications, and it's submitted by Maggie Motto. And I will abstain from this particular matter. If anybody objects, I will also move out of being chairman, but otherwise I will just conduct the meeting and will not participate in the discussion or the voting. Is that satisfactory? Okay. That having been said, Mark, do we have a staff report in connection with this matter?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to go over that with you now if you're ready. So we've had no other submissions on this case, and just one slight correction, 3050 Middle Drive, and as opposed to Middle Road, and that was an issue we caught even in our own copy editing. It is Middle Drive. If you're not familiar with that, I'll enlighten you here in a little bit. We have a property that's designated C2, and the petitioner, who's being represented by Maggie Motto, would like to put a car wash on that parcel. Actually, two parcels are involved. So 3011 Devil's Glen Road, which you might recognize as the former Devil's Glen Car Wash across from Hy-Vee, if that's familiar to you. And then the parcel just behind it, 3050 Middle Drive, again, emphasis on the word drive there, is zoned C2. Under our 2017 adopted zoning ordinance, C2 can allow a car wash, but only under special use, which is why we're here tonight. So here's the two involved parcels. You'll see the Midwest Dent logo. It actually is being operated as Midwest Dent right now. They have come in and done some auto repairs after the recent hailstorm and derecho. That use will be ceasing under this proposal, and the configuration of the lot would essentially combine the two lots into one, if you will, one long lot in this fashion. The 3050 Middle Drive, which is here, is the C2 property, so that's the property in question. You already have a C3 designation on the Midwest Dent or Devil's Glen property, so that would be allowable there. The site plan involves both parcels, and you'll see about two-thirds of the proposed structure fits on the Devil's Glen side, if you will, and about one-third of the structure on the Middle Drive side. You'll see that they have quite a bit of stacking. They're using the entrances off of Devil's Glen Road. It appears there are not going to be entrances off of Middle Drive. So the stacking is significant, going through pay stalls and then going through two or three pay stalls and then funneling into one inlet into a car wash of some fashion. We're not sure if it's automated or hand wash. That's yet to be divulged. And then exiting out back onto Devil's Glen Road I believe there's 25 parking spots on the site plan, roughly, and then the stacking is giant, honestly, hard to calculate how many you can stack in those three stalls, but the about nine in the single line going into the proposed car wash. This is Middle Drive. You'll see that this road is a private drive. You can see by the sign there. One of the conditions we would recommend as staff, if you do approve the special use, is that right-of-way be designated to the city to further develop that area. That is an underused portion of the city, and we'd like to see that right-of-way access so that we can further develop to the north into the Golden Triangle area. There is a single-family home here. I believe it has been purchased and would be owned by the car wash company and torn down, obviously. There are some concerns we do have as staff with the power lines. What our development takes place, we'd want those to be addressed. Those are rather low hanging. So either bury them or increase the height so that when we have vehicles and the building structure, they don't come in contact with those. And again, just showing the property line, the adjacent property is actually vacant. So you see the large pine tree. That property is not involved. It is an unused vacant property. The property on the right-hand side of the screen is the yard area, the backyard area of the residential property that would become the proposed car wash. Staff has found that we have plenty of precedents for this type of use in a C2. I've noted several cases in my report. I will note that case 15-006, 1801 Kimberly Road, although that was approved back in 2015, it was never actually built. So if you were kind of going out to look for it and you didn't see it, that's why. Just some clarification on some of the language on cases 09001. It's noting C3 as a special use. That was the old zoning ordinance. So was a C3 required a special use? It's a permitted use now in C3, so just if you're trying to keep score there. And then also another case in 2009-09009, a special use was permitted for a C2 area. Staff would recommend approval for this use. We would reserve the right, if you will, to provide further conditions on such use. There's a nine-part test. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'll let you read that for yourself, or if you already have, but the nine-part test is required by ordinance. We believe they satisfy every part of the nine-part test. We do have some conditions that we would propose, and those are listed on the last page of my staff report. I would highlight B, C, D, and E. I think those conditions would be relevant and within your jurisdiction to approve today, and others as you see fit. I would like to call them out just for the record. Since we do have two lots, we want an agreement not to separate or a replat on this property. Stormwater management, obviously the high volume use with the much pavement, and then also the volume of water being used, we're going to want to see a substantial stormwater and sanitary sewer improvement being made and approved by the city engineer. Right-of-way access, I did mention, we would like that on Middle Drive. And again, item E, to work with local utilities to make sure that those are not a hazard. With that, I turn it over to the board.
Okay, anybody on the commission wish to address anything to the staff at this point?
So Mark, are you correct in, or am I understanding it, that Middle Drive, you're looking at other developments in the future?
We are, yes, and that would be a pathway to spur development, if you will. So if we had right-of-way there and turned that into a public road at some point, then we provide access and hopefully some future development. And again, I should have shown you this before. We do show the C2 areas. If you see Devil's Glen Road on the left-hand side of the photograph or the image, that C3 portion is the existing car wash. Directly behind that, to the right, is the C2 portion, and you'll notice that all of that area back there is C2, so obviously we prefer it to be commercial use and not residential use.
Any other questions from the commission?
No.
Anybody in the audience wish to address us in favor of this application?
Mr. Chairman, My name is Maggie Amato, and I'm the engineer for this project. As Mark was saying, there is already a car wash there, which is going to come out, and this is going to look a little bit better. The site plan that you guys saw is basically a template from the owner that has a couple of them in Chicago. It's going to be a little bit smaller than this, and it's not finalized yet, but as we go through the site plan process with the city of Bendorf, then we'll discuss whether to have an access to a middle drive or not. And also the utility poles, obviously, will they'll be buried on the ground. So okay. If there are any questions, I can.
Any questions for Maggie? I'm sorry, Ms. Motto?
No.
Do you have any issues with the conditions that the staff has recommended?
Not at all.
Okay. Thank you very much, then. Anybody wishing to speak opposed to it? You want to do me a favor and go back to the podium?
Question rather than objection, because it's good to see the city moving forward. Thank you very much for allowing me to do this, and I'll introduce myself.
Do we know we're picking him up?
I don't think we are. Sir, can we
would you do me a favor and go to the podium?
Over there.
Yeah, because that's where the mic is. Thank you. And when you get there, would you state your name and where you reside?
Okay.
Can you hear better? Yes, okay.
That's much better.
Okay. My name is David D. Swanson, a native of Bettendorf. I reside, and our family owns the property that's directly to the east across the private drive from the car wash. And we've had that property in our family since 1963 for 57 years. We've seen, you know, development around that area steadily increase in just actually recently even, but I'm talking about quality of life, and I have concerns about noise pollution and light pollution. I was encouraged to see that the plan that you showed up there did not have an entrance or an egress from that property onto middle drive. And then right at the end of your statement, you said that you'd hope to have access to that drive. So I don't want to put anybody to sleep here, so I'll just get right to it. We don't object to a development, but we have concerns about light pollution and noise pollution, which has been increasing over the years, and light and noise pollution was present with the previous car wash there. The dryer was on the east side. It looks like the dryer is probably going to be on the west side of that structure now. And that creates a high decibel noise. And then the directional of the lighting, we would like to see the lighting in the area be directed away from our property. And I'm sure that both of those, that would be easily done, and it's usually done in new construction. So, and then lastly, I think that there should be a 10-foot privacy fence on the west end of that property to shield the residences that are to the east from the activities that are going to go on there. There's going to be cars and people there. And what the hours of operation are going to be hasn't been stated either. So anyway, Getting back again, I would say we would prefer no traffic then on Middle Drive there, and a privacy fence. So, well, thank you very much for letting me speak up here.
Thank you for coming. Anyone else wish to speak opposed to the project? I don't see anybody. Does the commission have any more questions for staff or anybody?
I do. So if Middle Drive is, because obviously this has changed now, that they're considering an entrance on that backside? Am I understanding it correctly?
Yep.
Which would be Middle Drive?
Yeah, it wasn't shown on the site plan. That's just new information now.
That will be, once we do the site plan and in communication with the city of Bendorf, then we'll decide if that's the path they want to go. We don't have to have an entrance off of it, but I think it will be a discussion with the city of Bendorf regarding.
Right, that's correct. So the actual site plan review has not been done. So this is just on the use. Is the use allowable? But since we have a chance to impose some conditions on that use here, I did mention those. I think it would be preemptive to talk about the actual access and egress from Middle Drive without a more specific site plan.
To the gentleman's concern is that eventually you're looking at that becoming an entrance for some business.
Yeah, I mean, the whole area is zoned commercial, so we would like to have that right away, and we would require that right away to be dedicated as part of this site plan approval, actually as part of this use approval. And so then that area can then further develop as it's been planned.
Okay, so if it's them or someone else, there's going to be traffic back there at some point, which is his concern.
That sounds correct, yeah.
Okay.
If it is a commercially zoned area, I would expect in years to come you will see commercial use continue to grow in that area.
Okay.
This is Chris. My question is relative to the actual use of Middle Drive. What kind of improvements would be necessary to have that? And to be in a future thing, we're talking a timeline of years, are we not?
That's correct, and then it would have to be built up to our road standards. It would become our right-of-way, therefore it would become our road, and it would have to be constructed to our standard if they were going to improve that drive for future commercial use.
I guess
and as Gwen just stated, then it's likely going to have to occur for other properties regardless.
Right, the city without that right-of-way, those properties would not be accessible because that's a private drive, and so I would see it would be difficult for that area to develop without it. That's why we would like to have that right-of-way.
And just another question to the gentleman is that you knew that you were next to commercial, it was zoned commercial? Okay, because you've been there so long, 57 years, but you did know that was commercial next to you?
Of course.
So.
Okay. What's the commission's pleasure? Someone want to make a motion, please?
Sure, Bob. I move that we approve case number 20057, subject to staff's recommended conditions.
So I have a first. Anybody have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Gwen, thank you. So we have a motion on the floor to approve the request, and I assume that motion includes the restrictions that the were requested by the staff. Okay, so roll call vote, please.
Clements?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Abstain.
Tansy?
Yes.
Converks?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries by 3 votes. Thank you. The next matter is case 20-056, it's 4600 Amber Court, and it's an R2, and it's a request for a variance of an 8-foot-high fence submitted by Melissa Bigelow. And I believe Mr. Tansey is going to exit the premises, as the applicant is his sister, and we didn't want his presence to in any way affect the result. So
thank you very much.
You very much for coming and allow us to switch things around.
See you, Jim.
Okay, we still have a quorum then. Let's proceed. And so, Mark, would you give the staff report in connection with this matter?
I'd be glad to, Mr. Chairman. Case 20056, 4600 Amber Court. The applicant is Melissa Bigelow. This is an R2 single family residence district. The variance requested to allow an 8-foot high fence along all sides of their rear yard. I should mention, we do have several items that have been turned in. Additionally, you should have received those via email. I will list them off for you. We have 4 photos by the petitioner that were submitted today. We have letters from the 2967 Crow Creek Road, the Hubers, letters from 4539 Amber Court, Kathy and Mike Lynn, and letters from Jeff and Chris Nowak, the neighbors on the Crow Creek side on the involved property on the corner. I will summarize all of those letters in saying that they all said they were okay with the 8-foot high fence along that property line, but they wanted to make sure that the fence was built appropriately up to city code, did not include trellises or scab pieces to make it higher than 8-foot high. I can say if a fence is permitted, it will be inspected and built by city code if this board so chooses to allow that variance to occur. Staff analysis, just to kind of cut to the chase, we have 2 involved properties. 4600 Amber Court is the applicant. The property directly to the north is two front yards, one on Amber Court, one on Crow Creek. That does appear to focus all of the outdoor recreation activity into the what is kind of the functional side yard, backyard area next to 4600 Amber Court. The precedent for this case can be found in 9866. This is 1509 Brown Street. We had a similar occurrence. Neighbors were having problems with noise and interference with each other. In that case, the properties, one was an R2 property and one was a C2 property, but the C2 property was occupied and used as a residence. This board found it fitting to allow a fence of 9 feet between those two properties to solve the neighbor's concerns, but also to buffer against a C2. Staff would suggest that we do have a hardship in this case, given that we have the two front yards with the Amber Court and Crow Creek property that does force, if you will, most of the outdoor activity, the recreational activity, to be along the border with 4600 Amber Court. And to alleviate that land use concern, a variance for an 8-foot high fence would be consistent with the precedent, and there's other precedent as well, but the 9866 case is most similar. Those cases that are listed below that are more topography and geography related, so we've allowed fences because of steep slopes and things like this to have a higher height. Again, staff finds the hardship relative to the two front yards on the property to the north and would recommend your approval, with the condition being the 8-foot high section only be allowed in the rear yard on the north edge of that property, and the other yards should be remain at the 6-foot. And there should not be a fence of that height in the front yard.
Any questions from the commission?
No.
Just a clarification with the last thing you said, and that is the fence in the front yard would be 4-foot, because that would be the requirement.
Yep, should be subject to the regular 4-foot requirement, and no trellises or scab pieces to make it higher. That would not be allowed under code.
Okay.
And you're saying the 6-foot one that's there?
That would be removed, and a new 8-foot fence needs to be built. There's some problems when things are added to the top of fences. They're not very stable, and they become projectiles in strong windstorms, which we've just had, and so I can attest to the damage those can do. So we would require a new fence to be built appropriately up to city code on that northern border if this board feels that that variance is something you would accept.
Okay. If there's no further commissions from or questions from the board, then would anybody like to speak in favor of this application?
Mr. Chair, honorable members of the board, my name is Aaron Myers. I am the attorney for the applicant. My client has reviewed the recommendations from Mr. Hunt and does agree that the hardship lies along that northern border. And so at this point would like to amend its application to include a variance only on that northern side of the property. There's Mr. Hunt did a very good job analyzing some of the geography and the layout that we're looking at. I believe there are a few more photos that did not get put on the screen.
These are staff photos, and I have other additional photos if you want to show them that I can put on the other screen.
Yes, if you would kindly put on the additional photos that we submitted.
Sure.
Thank you. While Mr. Hunt is doing that, we understand that there are six requirements or six elements for a variance. Granting this variance would not allow any change in the use at all on either the property at issue or the property to the north. The current use of the property is for a pool and a child's play set, and then our understanding is the property to the north has a raised patio. The raised patio is...
I'm sorry, I thought I had one of the places.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
You can keep it on that photo if you don't mind.
Sure.
The raised patio is part of the reason for the request for an additional 2 feet. It just allows for more privacy between the two properties. The second element that we understand is that it we have to show it would not impair any light or air. We can see from Exhibit 2 on the additional exhibits that there are several large trees there already along that property, and as far as light is concerned, the vast majority of that northern boundary is covered up by the house already, the existing house. Finally, as you can see from additionally, as you can see from the proposed project specs that were submitted as part of the staff photos, there won't be any effect on traffic patterns or setbacks that we have to worry about a fire. We also don't expect there to be any change in property values as a result of an increased height of the fence. The final element is worthy of mention only briefly, in that the applicant must show that this variance is not in any other respect, any other respect impair the health, comfort, safety, morals, or welfare of the inhabitants of the city. I would submit that in this particular case, due to the disputes that the staff have raised, not having said variance would have that unintended effect of impairing the health, comfort, safety, morals, and welfare of the inhabitants. We do have some additional photo or additional video and audio that we are prepared to submit but have not yet done so due to the nature and explicit nature and profane content as it relates to the disputes between the two neighbors. if the board finds it appropriate or finds it in a position to not allow this variance, we would be happy to present those additional exhibits, but it's probably not appropriate at this time in this public forum. So with that, I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. I don't think at this point we need any videos, especially of the nature you indicated. So I think we're in pretty good shape with what we have. Does anybody else want to address this in favor of this application? Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask something just for clarification from Mr. Hunt, if I heard it right, that the front yard fence will be at 4 feet as outlined by code.
That's correct. I'll let Mr. Hunt answer that, but I believe it'll be 4 feet and then it'll go up to 9 feet.
8 feet,
I'm sorry.
And
eight
then
feet.
This will be a total replacement of the existing fence.
At the mic.
Okay.
And again, this is just for clarification.
Hi, I'm Chris Nowak. I live at 2901 Crow Creek Road. My question is, again, just to reiterate what was said, the front yard fence will be at 4 feet height and not at 8 feet, correct?
A city code requires front yard fences to be no more than 4 feet high. That would be the required height of a front yard fence, not to be more than 4 feet high. So you're correct in your assessment.
Okay. And then, from what I understand, you're saying the existing fence will be removed and replaced with a new fence.
The construction would have to be permitted and inspected by the city of Bettendorf, and that construction must meet our code. The exact way they reach that is up to their builder, but we will not allow scabbed pieces or trellis pieces on top of a fence to make it, in effect, a taller fence. Now, if they want to use existing posts and put different new panels in between those posts, that would be up to their builder and our inspector to inspect the quality and code worthiness of that work. I hope that answers your question.
And then finally, and I just heard this, I think, is that the original plan was to have a new fence on the north side and the south side, so they were equal and matching. Is it now contended that only the north side will have the new fence and the existing fence will stay the same on the south side?
Staff's recommendation to this board is for a fence on the northern portion of the property line to ease that land hardship issue we discussed, and only on the northern property line.
Okay. Well, we very much look forward to a higher fence, so I have no opposition.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak opposed to it? Okay. All right. I don't have anything else then. Any other questions from the board, for staff, or for anyone? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess I misspoke. I'm looking for anybody that wants to speak against the project. Go ahead. I apologize. I thought that's what I was asking for, but maybe not. Go ahead. State your name. And
I'm Troy Kenyon. I live at 4504 Amber Court, so I'm just down the street from them.
Okay.
You know, I read through the documentation that was on the website for Bettendorf, and you know, he said you've had previous conversations about it. So when I looked at the single closest case to this, it was a zone C2, which is a commercial development. Is that correct?
C2 is a commercial commercial district. That the actual use and existing use on that property was residential.
Understood. I mean, it was surrounded by other C2 property as well?
I can't answer that question. I don't know the zoning conditions of the city in 1998 other than what I read in that case.
Oh, I have it here. It's all right. So the other question is, I mean, the hardship, is because they have a deck in their backyard. That's one hardship. I have a deck in my backyard, and I believe most everybody else in Bettendorf has a deck in their backyard compared to their neighbor. Unfortunately, they have a house next to a corner lot when their backyard is closer. I understand that. I had a corner lot. My backyard was really close to my neighbor. I can almost hand him a cup of coffee in the morning when I was on my deck. But I didn't ask for a variance. I got along with my neighbor. Second part was they're close to a busy street, not so busy as 18th Street, and have any of those homes had a variance to go 8 foot on their fences? And I think not on that one as well. So I'm opposed to it, variance because of the street being Crow Creek. The third is if she has clients coming to the house, their privacy. Well, they can put a human gate in the driveway and they can go through the backyard into the house and they have the utmost privacy with just a minimal investment. I mean, I hate to see an 8 foot fence go into a neighborhood. That's my thing. I really foresee that as a bad thing for Bettendorf, bad thing for my home's value. I don't want an 8 foot fence. So, and the other part I don't like is if we can go back in the pictures, probably scroll down a picture.
It's on the...
Right there, that one right there, right below this one, there. I have pictures of my, right here, if I could submit one of those.
Sure.
You're welcome.
You're welcome to bring them up and put them on, they'll put them on the machine there for you.
Sorry. I didn't know we're supposed to.
No, that's fine. You're doing fine.
And this is the augmentation in the front yard. That's a 7 foot fence in the front yard. It's got a small trellis on it, has a vine on it, but in essence, it's a 7 foot fence in the front yard. And I didn't know if that was allowed.
Right, is that a question, I guess, you're asking staff? Is a 7 foot fence allowed in the front yard? No, it's not.
Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty much, I don't see the hardship in this case. There's trees all along the fence line. It makes a bad precedent for the city of Bettendorf.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to speak and oppose to it? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is James Driscoll. I live at 4576 Amber Court, the property immediately south of the property owners who are requesting the variance. I'm just generally opposed to code variations for long-established residential properties. I received a letter stating that this hearing was being held. It was my impression that the fence was to go on all sides of the property, so I'm hearing for the first time tonight that it's just on the northern side. I understand that both of the property owners who were most significantly impacted are in favor, and so you'll take that into consideration when you make your vote, but I wish you would take into consideration also that allowing a variance does set a potentially adverse precedent for the other residential property owners on Amber Court. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else that would wish to speak either in favor or opposed at this point that I've left out? Don't see anybody. Okay. Questions from staff, or I'm sorry, questions from the board to staff or to anyone?
Mark, would you recap the hardship again?
Sure. The hardship that we found was related to the land use. The situation with the property that borders Crow Creek and Amber Court is that it is both two front yards, and that forces all the outdoor recreation into a side yard, if you will, that borders rather closely to the applicant's property. That's the land use hardship that we found, and we found similar precedent in 1998 in the case that was mentioned, where two property owners were having disputes. The properties were arranged R2 to C2, but they were both residential uses.
And now we are only looking at an 8-foot fence on one side, which is the north side.
That is correct.
And it seems that the neighbor has agreed that that it's fine as long as it's a brand new fence.
Yeah, my understanding of the comments of the property of both property owners is they both want an 8-foot fence. The property owner to the north has indicated they would like that fence to be relatively new construction, not scabbed pieces or trellises on top of an existing fence, which would not meet code.
And the picture, though, that last gentleman showed is sort of the picture that you have up there now, maybe. No, I have a different one. But the 7-foot trellis that's not attached to the fence is a trellis. Is that illegal according to that height?
So I would have to send a code enforcement officer out and do an inspection on the property. I don't want to make a determination now. I can't tell if that is attached to the fence, if it's separated from the fence. I will tell you, when we find fences that have trellises, pieces of metal, other pieces of plastic or wood attached to them that make them taller, we cite them for code violations and we ask them to remove those pieces of material.
So it really comes down to being attached?
Yeah, having it attached to the fence. You know, a standalone trellis, when does a trellis become a fence?
Right.
I have a couple questions for Mark. Fencing is always an issue that comes before this board all the time, and people our code restricts fences in the backyard to 6 feet, and in the front yard to 4 feet, and we have made exceptions to the backyard and to the front yard under certain conditions, especially, and we've sort of had a history of doing it when the traffic is high or when there's some screening that's necessary. My only concern with this application and approval of it is whether or not the hardship that we're identifying is hard enough identification so that it doesn't place us in a position where now we're going to be consistently looking at people who seem to want 8-foot fences rather than 6-foot fences at places where they really should have 4-foot fences. It's kind of like a floodgates kind of an argument. We've been fighting this for years, trying to come up with a way to define when a larger fence can be installed. And I have concern that as to the hardship in this case and how we're going to differentiate that from the next people that for whatever reason don't get along, and therefore we're going to build a spite fence and we're going to participate in the building of that spite fence. That's my concern, and I guess I'm challenging you to figure out if you can come up with a way that this is going to stand as a unique situation and not a way to increase the sizes of fences throughout the city. If the city fathers want to change it to 8-foot fence, I guess I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but that's not what we're faced with when this matter comes before us. So that's my concern.
Certainly. Were you looking for a response, Mr. Chairman?
If you have a way to respond, that's fine. And I don't mean to be making it difficult.
Yeah, certainly staff understands the authority and power of this board, and it is yours to make that decision. So we understand that as staff. We do think we have a narrow decision for you in that we've outlined a two front yard scenario, one on a busier street, and maybe I didn't approach that in my discussion the way I should have. And that busier street being Crow Creek, forcing any reasonable person to recreate, if they're going to recreate and be outside, to be on that one very confined space. We would propose that argument is narrow, but we are not the decision makers. We are the staff, and so we understand that, and we'll avail ourselves to your decision, of course.
Any other comments from the board at all?
Just one more is the hardship was the two front lawns or
yes, you
know, and driving the recreation to the back. I guess my question is, had they not had disputes, would an eight-foot fence be approved? Because
I don't think it would come before this board. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's great. I'm just saying, because the question is, the hardship is the two front lawn. So that's the precedent that could come back.
Correct.
Okay. So I guess I want to make sure that, you know, it's almost like the last guy who I said, did you know you were next to a C2? So.
And I guess that's my concern. There are houses, I haven't owned one, but there are houses on corners throughout the city, and if you have two front yards, which is what you end up with when you do that, you are forced into the rear or side yard. You don't have a large backyard because of that, and there are an awful lot of houses that are so situated, and it seems to me that we have to be careful that we don't open, that we don't legislate to make that change. If the city council wants to make that change, that's different. But we're not a legislative body. We're a judicial body. So, inform. So that's my concern. And I don't know where everybody else stands, and of course you won't know until you vote. One of the peculiar things, and maybe I should say to the applicant tonight, is that we only have three people. It takes three people to approve anything in this body. So you will need a unanimous decision in order to proceed and to be successful. It's not uncommon for us to explain that to the applicant and offer them the opportunity to defer this to another date where we might have four members. As it stands right now, we will not have five because Mr. Tanzi is excusing himself since he is the brother of the applicant. So the best you're going to get is a draw of four, and today you just have a draw of three. So I just lay that out there for a decision for the applicant to make one way or the other.
Can I make one more statement?
Yeah, you'll have to go back to if you will, please.
I want to refer back to what Mr. Myers had stated earlier, that unless they got what they wanted, they were going to play video and audio. And I know it's of me on a night 3+ years ago when they called the police on us for playing music. They didn't text, didn't say, hey, can you turn your music down? They immediately called the police to get back at us because we had objected to them running a business next door because it was so many cars over and over again in bothering us. And now he threatens that if he doesn't get his way, he's going to play the audio tape she made of that night, which really, would, you know, is he threatening you too? I mean, we've just tried to get along. Now, we have not even had a conversation with them. And if I sound emotional, I am, because this has been going on for over 3 years. And all we want to do is live in peace. Done. So to play a 3-year-old audio to get their way just seems very low.
Okay, I don't, let me, this is just one person of the board speaking at the moment. So, but I personally don't think that that tape has anything to do with the issue before us.
Thank you.
And also, I don't think that the fact that the two of you don't get along has anything to do with the matter before us today. It may have other matters, and you can handle those in a different way. I just don't feel personally that to construct an 8-foot fence in order to solve your two personal problems is what this board should be doing. And I feel that if we are going to do that, we have to have a hardship that we can stand on and feel very comfortable that we can use that as an example throughout the city and not end up with eight-foot fences, because that's not what the legislature, the city council, has told us to do. And that's my personal feeling. And I realize I'm one of three, and the other two members of the commission. I invite you to speak your mind if you'd like. You don't have to, but that's where I'm at anyway.
So I do have another question. I don't know, Chris, if you're wanting to jump in, please do. But again, to reiterate kind of what I said before, and to that other gentleman's point, is that somebody has to ask for the 8-foot fence. So with the hardship being two front lawns, agreement or disagreement, if they asked for the 8-foot fence because of the hardship, it could come before us again anyway. That's correct. Okay.
That's correct. If you're saying that form of question, that is correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. If you issue this as a variance today,
yes,
it could come before you again, and you would have the opportunity to make a decision again.
Okay.
It does not become codified. It doesn't become something you can do by permitted use.
And I'm just bringing that up because it's the hardship of the two front lawns, not the relationship.
Staff's analysis was on the land use issue.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to say something?
If I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
But Chris, that are you, Chris?
Yeah, I do have a question when it's appropriate. I couldn't
okay.
Podium, I apologize.
That's no problem. We'll let him speak and then you can answer a question. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It appears the chair is looking for a way to differentiate or distinguish this particular issue with other issues that might arise in the future. I think the number one determining or distinguishing factor is that we have two neighbors who are directly affected who have stated here tonight that they are in support of this variance. And so that alone is a huge distinguishing factor than, say, one neighbor who wants to build a fence or build a spite fence and the other neighbor does not want that to happen. So I think if it's a matter of looking at the distinguishing, at what's different, that's something that this board should not overlook. Additionally, we cannot forget the fact that there is already precedent here, and that's the precedent that was cited in Mr. Hunt's presentation. So the board would not be making any new law, would not be making any new code or ordinance, or even taking a different stance. The board would simply be using the precedent that's already there. Finally, it's the board mentioned about, the chair mentioned that it was not relevant as to the nature of the dispute. Applicant also believes that that is true, which is why we've have not threatened, but out of courtesy and respect for everyone participating in this process, which is why we've withheld some of those exhibits. It was done out of respect for a neighbor who has come up here and testified and spoke that they are in agreement with the applicant's proposal. Notwithstanding all that, we cannot forget the final element that must be proven or must be shown before this board, and that is the element that I cited previously, which is the variance will not in any other respect impair the public health, comfort, safety, morals, or welfare of the inhabitants. Just because it's last doesn't mean it's any less important. In fact, it very well could be the most important. So the way we see it, we have got two neighbors who consent to this build. This is either in line with precedent or can be easily distinguished from other cases that might happen in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris, you had a question, I think.
Yeah, when we were talking about precedence, we heard a lot about Brown Street. 1515 Bel Air, the case 08062, was in line with lot configuration, which we're discussing today, and also the deck height. Is deck height an issue in this? Did I hear that from staff earlier?
Yeah, that was not part of staff's analysis. That was a comment from someone else. Staff's analysis related narrowly to the land use hardship being the two front yards, congesting the area for outdoor recreation into two near areas, if you will. Someone else mentioned something about deck height. That was not part of my analysis.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further, anyone? Pardon me?
He wants to jump in.
Oh. Who wants to jump in?
Did he say?
Oh, yeah. Come on in. Okay, I understand. You're certainly welcome to make a statement.
Oh, hi. I'm Forrest Mook at 4502 Thornwood Drive. I don't have any standing specifically or really. None of this directly impacts me. However, there are houses in my neighborhood that would also fit this category, and I don't think I would want to see 8-foot fences put up if this sets any sort of precedent that lets that happen. So that's myself personally, the two front yards, I don't see that as a hardship. That's just an unlucky aspect of that particular lot. You know, I have no problem with 6-foot fences along busy streets, but the two neighbors in dispute I don't think is relevant. I don't really want to listen to whatever their dispute is. Or any recorded audio, and I don't think it makes any difference. There was one other thing I was going to say, and I've lost my train of thought. But anyway, if I think of it, I'll come back. Oh yeah, if these are the people that own the property today, but who's going to own the property tomorrow or 5 years from now? So if you are going to approve this, I would make it contingent on it going away when somebody sells their house. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Nobody else? Okay. Is anybody on the board wants to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve case 20-056, 4600 Amber Court, with the hope that a fence will go up that both people like. I know that's not official, but it might make a difference.
I have a second. Chris, you want to second that? Did she say yes?
Chris, did you second?
Yes, I'm sorry. I said okay. Yes, I'll second that.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor to approve the application for an 8-foot fence between the two houses. Roll call.
Clements?
Yes.
Gallagher?
No.
Combergs?
Yes.
And it fails. Okay. Anything further to come before the board? If not, we stand adjourned. Thank you all for coming.